from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Quite an eventful day, Paul, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. You and I are playing golf with one Lanny Fritteri at 2:30. Are you excited about this?
Yes.
And you and I are on a team against him and Ryan Record. You think we can win? Are you the captain of our team?
I don't know if I'm the captain, but I know this.
Voted you captain.
I have to. We're going to have to play well, because they're going to be good. Ryan Record is really good.
I stink. So you're in trouble, and I apologize in advance for dragging
hopefully
down our team.
Hopefully, you know, the six-pack is cold. That's all I care about.
That's going to be fun. Are you driving, or am I the golf cart? I'll drive. I'll be our designated golf cart driver.
It doesn't matter to me. I don't care about that. I like to walk. You know me, I like to walk a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be walking after bad shots. Is Prado ready?
Prado is ready.
All right, let's go out to the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Johnny, were you at the game yesterday?
No, I missed it, but luckily I have cable television, so I was able to watch.
I guess luckily is one way to look at it. This was Greg Brown on the final call, and man, it made me sit up in my seat and literally say, I was watching the game alone out loud in my house, wow.
1-2 pitch, and one of the worst losses in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates today. Historic.
Johnny, you've been covering Pirates baseball for a long, long time. You may be the dean of Pirates reporters at this point. Where does that loss rank among any you've seen in the regular season? And where does that three-game series, we just had somebody tell us in the hallway they'd never given up 41 runs in a three-game series in Pittsburgh, where does that humiliating series rank on the all-time meter?
Well, that was pretty bad, and I've seen them have some bad losses. But I think why this is, if not the worst, certainly one of the worst, is because this is a team that had playoff aspirations 3 weeks ago. I mean, they legitimately thought they had a chance at the playoffs. They were only 2.5 games out of the last wild card, and to see it devolve into what has happened here in the month of August is got to be pretty disturbing for the fans and anybody that cares. And I mean, even when Derek Shelton, who never has like unlimited tolerance of bad baseball, even when he got upset yesterday, you know it was a bad loss. But, I mean, obviously the king of all bad losses was the 92 NLCS Game 7. But But this was really embarrassing. I mean, you have a 10-3 lead in the seventh inning, and it's not like the Cubs are great. I mean, they're 14th out of 30 MLB teams in runs scored this year. So it's not like they got beat by an offensive juggernaut. A very ordinary team scored 11 runs in three innings off guys who are supposedly your best relievers.
Well, now I'm thinking today about Derek Shelton. And even a couple of weeks ago, we know that Bob Nutting doesn't like to pay people not to work, although he's done it before. Man, Johnny, nobody across the history of sports has survived losing this prodigiously over this many years. And it's seemingly only getting worse if you factor in expectations. I now just simply cannot see Derek Shelton surviving until next season. Can you?
I will say one reason why, and I'm not trying to be a wise guy, but, you know, I worked for Bob Nutting for a year, and it was the second worst year of my life after working for one other person. And I will say this, he does not like any dissent. He does not like any discord. He doesn't like any confrontation. Derek Shelton's been a good soldier through all of this. Yesterday was the first time he actually showed any cracks of being frustrated by a job that's one of the most frustrating jobs in baseball, managing the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think for the fact that he's been a good soldier, and frankly, he's been a yes man for the Pirates, and so has Ben Cherington, that's why I think Bob Nutting will be slow to make any moves. I just think he doesn't like to rock the boat, and I think Bob doesn't. I mean, I don't think Bob would be as upset about this loss as most owners because he's not a baseball guy, and this is just a business to him, and it's just an investment. And they made $68 million last year, so from a profit loss standpoint, it doesn't really matter that they lost a game like they did yesterday, and I guess that's a long way of saying I think Shelton could be fired, but I'm not 100% sure, like a lot of other people are, that Nutting will pull the trigger on this.
Well, that's what I said, John. I think there are going to be a lot of people that are going to probably be very disappointed that the number of changes that happened in the offseason, most of them are going to be, you know, things like what they did yesterday when they fired their international director or whatever the hell he was. I think they're going to just kind of scapegoat some other people, but I fully am 100% in the camp that both Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton are going to be back, unless maybe they suffer, you know, 30 more losses in a row like they had yesterday. I really think they're going to be back.
I agree, Paul, and I just don't think that Nutting has the stomach to make changes. You look at how he handled the whole Clint Hurdle, Neil Huntington thing 5 years ago. He didn't fire Hurdle until prior to the last game of the season. Clint Hurdle had his daily media session in his office with all of us writers and broadcasters. Then after that happened, they fired Hurdle. So that was very ham-handed, very bungled. You look at what they did with Neil Huntington. They waited a whole month after the season to fire him as GM. What changed between the last day of the season and a month? Nothing. And it just, I just don't think Nutting has the stomach to make changes. I just don't think he does. As long as you're loyal to him, and as long as you do what he says and say the right things. And I mean, it's hilarious. Like, you see some of the Pirate employees go to such great lengths to try to act like everything's okay. And the reason they do it, they know deep down that the Pirates are horrible, but they're scared to say anything because they know if there is dissent, your job, you're gone. But as long as you toe the company line and do everything they tell you and say everything you're supposed to say, you'll keep a job. And I mean, Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton have been relentlessly positive through all the bad baseball that's been played in the last 5 years. And I think Nutting appreciates that, even if it's not the right move to keep them both.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I've been asking people today across the history of sports who has lost like this for 5 years and lived to tell about it. Paul Alexander in the hallway had a great call. Clint Hurdle with the Rockies. Hurdle lost. He came in during the 2002 season. Lost. He went 67-73. Then he lost 88, 94, 95, and 86 games, and they kept him. And the next year, he had a miracle finish and won the NL pennant. So he's the example. But other than that, there is nobody. But let's move on from that, Johnny, and get to... Oh, I had a little bit of a trivia question here.
I know somebody.
Who?
Red Klotz, the coach to Washington Generals. He lost a lot, and he kept his job for a long time.
Somebody
Red
just
Klotz,
told me on the golf...
Yeah.
Somebody just told me on the golf course the other day that their friend or relative, I can't remember which, was a point guard for the Washington Generals. Can you imagine that job, Paul?
You probably got paid well and no pressure.
Right. No pressure to win there. Only pressure to lose. Johnny, you have a game to save here. You're about to go to the World Series. It's 7-6 in the ninth inning. Would you call on Old Heller, Brady Feigl, Rowdy Tellez, or David Bednar to save that game? Which one would you have the most confidence in right now, keeping in mind that Tellez has a better ERA than Bednar this season?
Well, I probably Old Heller, because it's funny. It would be funny to bring Old Heller and hit to say the World Series. But no, seriously, right now, I still guess Bednar is still your best option. I mean, not that there's really anybody there that you'd say, wow, maybe we should give this guy a try. But Rowdy Tellez, if he keeps getting calls like he did the other night where he throws the ball 10 feet out of the strike zone and gets a called strike, then I would use him to close. But in all seriousness, I mean, who do they have? I mean, you just threw out the options. I mean,
well, Feigl's gone
there's
now.
Obviously, there must be something wrong with Bednar. I mean, I've thought that all year. He hasn't been right. Even when he was pitching well and putting up good numbers, he wasn't the same guy that we saw the last 3 or 4 years here with the Pirates. But, I mean, you know, everyone talked Colin Holderman would be the closer in waiting if Bednar got traded, and Holderman has had a horrible second half, and now he's on the injured list. Somehow he hurt his wrist, which I'm not sure how that happened, but he did. And Aroldis Chapman, I mean, you know, you didn't give him as an option. I guess maybe him, but even then, his control is so spotty at times that it would scare me to bring him in a one-run game and in that situation with the championship on the line. So what I'm kind of doing is filibustering here and really not giving you an answer because I don't like any of the options.
Well, I will say this. If you think about it, wasn't there a point in this season we were talking about the bullpen as like the unequivocally the team's strength?
Absolutely. And it was. I mean, if you know the old proverbial well on paper deal, I mean, you looked at coming into the season, you have David Bednar 2 years in a row, an all-star and a legitimate all-star, not one of those, well, they have to take somebody from the Pirates, so they took Bednar. I mean, he deserved to be there both years. You had Colin Holderman, who showed a lot of promise last year in his first full year with the Pirates. And then you had Aroldis Chapman, who still can throw 100 miles per hour at an advanced age. And you had to really like that bullpen and, you know, then Ryan Borucki got hurt, and he was going to be the second lefty. And, you know, another guy they miss is Dowry Moretta, who everyone's kind of forgot about. He had a pretty good year for the most part last year. He got hurt in spring training. But still, I really like the bullpen. And if you told me back on opening day that that would be the downfall of them and collapsing in August, I would have been very surprised.
I mean, you know, you're running guys like Dennis Santana, Eric Flagel. Who's this other guy they brought in? Old Heller.
Old Heller, yeah.
You know what I mean? They got Clarence Beeks from Trading Places. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, seriously.
Well, I'll tell you a Pirate story. It's a funny one. It's a personal. My late mother loved baseball. And one time I took her to the Pirate Caravan and introduced her to Lloyd McClendon. And they were taking like 34 pitchers to training camp that year. And my mother goes, "Lloyd, what are you going to do with 34 pitchers in training camp?" And Lloyd goes, "I guess a statute of limitations of this being an off-the-record conversation spot." And Lloyd and Mac goes to my mother. He goes, "You've heard the old saying about if you throw enough, you know what, against the wall, some of it's bound to stick." That's pretty much what the Buccaneers
that is incredible.
Right now they're throwing a you-know-what against the wall and hoping something sticks.
Oh, my God. This is – I didn't expect this, Johnny. I really didn't.
No.
But it's happening. And it's happening before our very eyes.
I wish she were still alive because I would love her take on yesterday's game. That's for sure.
I'm not even sure it was the worst game of the series. It might have been their worst in 143 years, but I'm not sure it was the worst in the regular season. But I'm not sure it was the worst of the series. The first game, where you had 18 runs and 8 steals against you, the last team to reach those benchmarks in a game were the 1912 New York Giants featuring Fred Merkel. And certainly, Johnny, you know about Merkel's boner, right?
Absolutely.
One of the biggest blunders in baseball history. It went down in history as Merkel's boner.
I'm guessing if it happened today, they'd probably use a different word. But
there's a whole Wikipedia section on Merkel's boner. He forgot to touch second base.
I know you're not making that up. It's true.
Paul, were you familiar with that story?
Absolutely. He didn't touch the base.
He would have fit right in on these Buccos. Him and Will Craig could have been your first and second baseman. Johnny.
It's better to laugh than cry, I suppose, but it was really sad. I mean, to just see how, like, just it wasn't even a month ago. There was so much hope and so much optimism.
And now we have Billy McKinney.
We're sitting here laughing at them like you do every other year.
Now we have Billy McKinney and Eric Feigl. Why do they have a lineup, by the way? Shouldn't they be playing young guys? I see Telez, Michael A. Taylor, who swung at a pitch 9 miles outside the strike zone, Connor Joe, Billy McKinney, and Grandal and Triolo and Alika Williams. What are we doing?
I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, you traded for a couple of guys at the deadline, and Billy Cook from the Orioles and Nick York from the Red Sox. Both of them are having... They're doing well at AAA at Indy. Why not bring them up? Wouldn't you want to see them? Wouldn't you want to see how they do in the big leagues? I mean, Billy McKinney's a wonderful guy. He really is. But he's clearly defined himself as a journeyman now. He's 29 years old. He's not part of your future.
What are they doing, Johnny? He just turned 30, by the way. Update on Billy McKinney. He just turned 30 4 days ago. You might not have known. Happy birthday to Billy McKinney. It's unimaginable, and I don't care if they scored 100 runs, by the way. That's not the point. The point is, why are they throwing these guys out there? Henry Davis didn't even start. Is Gonzalez hurt or something, or why didn't he play?
I needed a day off, probably.
Why didn't he play, John?
Well, this is what they'll say. They were easing him back in slowly after he was injured and coming back from a rehab assignment. But it makes no sense at all that they're playing these retreads and journeyman players, guys that aren't part of the future, at least shouldn't be part of the future. Maybe Ben Cherington thinks they are, but it's very baffling, this whole entire month of August has just been one of the strangest months. You go first off from the fact that Bob Nutting says in June, "Oh, we're going to do whatever it takes." Theoretically is what he said. I don't know the exact quote, to improve this offense and try to make the playoffs. Then he tells Ben Cherington, you know, privately, well, you can't spend much money. You can't spend any significant money here. So they end up not adding any really significant players that could help push them over the top. And then everything falls apart. They have the 1-5 homestand to start off. They have the 10-game losing streak. And then they just get bludgeoned by the Cubs for 3 days. And this, you know, they've had a lot of frustrating moments over these last 30, 40 years. But this month about takes the cake for worst month in Pirate history.
Worst month in Pirate history.
Well, think about it. We just said on Monday they set a record that hadn't been, they accomplished something that hadn't been done since 1912 with the stolen bases and runs. Paul Alexander said, and I don't know, John, do you know if this is true or not? But Paul Alexander said 41 runs given up by a home team in 3-game series is the most ever. Is that true?
I'm not 100% sure on that. I've heard that too, but I haven't had that verified. But it wouldn't surprise me.
It's got to be close.
Our old friend Pauly Radio wouldn't make that up. So yeah, it's a lot of runs. It's a lot of runs to give up in a 3-day span.
41 runs
with their three best pitchers on the mound.
It seems like they gave up 200. Yeah. It seems like they gave up 200 stolen bases in 3 games too.
Yeah, you know, the other night, Derek Shelton, they steal 8 bases on Monday night, they being the Cubs, and Derek Shelton downplays and goes, well, you know, that wasn't the only reason we lost. Well, it was a pretty big reason you lost. I mean, it's embarrassing when teams are just running wild and you can't do anything. And, you know, it's like Mitch Keller is not holding runners. Yasmani Grandal, it looked like he couldn't throw me out trying to steal second. And it was just an abomination.
But they stole four more yesterday.
Yeah. I'm glad at least that Derek Shelton finally showed some emotion as far as negativity emotion and showed he was upset, because it was getting to the point where he was covering for their mistakes so much that it became laughable. That, you know, there's always an excuse for everything. And at least, you know, if there was some accountability there, it would be nice. And I'm talking from the owner who never shows his face except to certain media members. It never shows his face in public to answer for any of this stuff going on. To Cherington and Shelton, always acting like, well, everything's fine, never showing they're upset about losing. It just gets old sometimes. And, you know, I see why the fans get frustrated, because, you know, you really get the feeling that when they act like this, that they don't care, then, you know, if I'm paying money to go see a game for a team that doesn't care, I'm a little upset about it, a lot upset about it.
Well, it's not just the losing, it's the nature of this. What are you doing right now, Johnny? Are you moving furniture?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I'm sorry I missed you there. I didn't hear you.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
That's a long story. It's not just the losing. It's not just the losing, it's the nature of it all, Johnny. Yeah. I thought the Rowdy Tellez the first time he came in was funny. When you do it 2 times in 3 days, that's not funny. That's pathetic, and it's also disrespectful to the game, in my opinion. Find a pitcher to pitch the end of that game. And then you have the crowd chanting for him.
Yeah.
Are you in a porta potty right now? Where are you? What's happening? Describe the scene.
Me?
Yeah, I hear handles and everything else and furniture.
My wife's running the garbage disposal or the microwave.
So fair enough.
She doesn't have the concept of all quiet on the set. So.
Fair enough. It's the nature of what's happening here. It's O'Neill Cruz walking to first base on that ground ball in the 9th inning. It's everything, Johnny.
It's the Buccos. What can you say? It's been like this for years, but it's really devolving, and it's really bad now. And, you know, I know there's been other times where it's been really bad, but I keep going back to this is a team that had expectations just a few weeks ago.
And, yes.
And here they are, you know.
We were talking Johnny, we were talking about making a move or two to get him over the top.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they were that close. I kept thinking if they get the one big bat and maybe a secondary player, they could really make the playoffs. And, you know, I was very wrong. And they've really been exposed here in the last month that they're just really not that good. And it's just but like you said, it's one thing to lose. If you get beat, you get beat. If the other team has more talent and beat you, that's fine. But just some of the things they do just are embarrassing. Like you said, bringing in Rowdy Tellez twice in 3 days. I mean, I understand there's just going to be that game every season where you're going to need a pitcher or a position player to pitch just to finish things out. But when it happens twice in 3 days, and like you said, and that's the only thing the crowd has to cheer for a stocky first baseman throwing, you know, lobbing the ball up there and getting calls. I still can't get over the one. It was 10 feet out of the
I know. The ump just wanted to go home. It was like a Little League game where the ump wants to go home. Johnny, we have to run. This was wonderful. You're great.
Well, it's always interesting to talk about the Buccos, that's for sure.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you.
Everybody shout, let's go, Bucks.
Let's see you, buddy. Now I'm starting to feel bad about Merkel's boner. Did you know for the rest of his life after committing that mistake, Fred Merkel was known as Bonehead?
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, at least they just didn't call him the bone or something.
That seems sad, Paul.
Right. And I would be very sad for him. He was probably picked on his whole entire life.
It was a rookie when that happened. And what happened was, the celebration started when he was on his way from first to second. Instead of touching second, he joined the celebration. I can understand that as a 19-year-old kid.
Right.
The rest of your life, you're known as Bonehead. And then when he got out of baseball, he wanted nothing to do with it. I feel horrible for him. Limits.
Yeah, that would definitely be... I thought Mr. P was a bad nickname. being the Bonehead would definitely be a lot worse.
Yes.
Yes, it would. All right, we gave our pit predictions earlier. Paul was at 7-5. I was at 6-6, almost going 5-7. Where were you? Limits?
7-5.
7-5. Let's go to Chris Carter from the Post Gazette. He covers the Panthers. I'm just going to lay it out right at the beginning here, Chris. What's your record for Pitt this season?
If the Pitt Panthers finishing 7-5, I think that they have a resilient year where their offense is much better than it was last year, and the defense has a lot of young talent that's going to emerge, become playmakers. They're going to have their bumps in the road. They're going to have their obstacles, but I think this gets back to being kind of the standard of what Pat Narduzzi has been in most years, which is, you know, over the hump of being a winning coach and getting them into bowl contention.
Your phone is a little bit garbled. Is there a way to fix it, or should we just move ahead?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Paul, you're up.
All right, I'll stand right here.
Okay. Thank you.
Right there, and don't you move an inch.
I'm right outside the pit facility, so this is awesome.
How much are you buying this whole idea that somehow, some way, they're going to play two quarterbacks? That's not going to be something that goes on this whole season, is it?
No, not this whole season. I think that there is going to be an experimental period, that it will start tomorrow, or not tomorrow, 2 days from now, it's Saturday. I doubt it goes in past Cincinnati. I think if they do it against Cincinnati, and Pat Narduzzi brought up a good point. He's like, they've done this before. Granted, it was the very first year that he took over back when it was Chad Boycik and Nathan Peterman. But if you look at how that played out, it was 3 games, then they were on to it, and Peterman had the job the rest of the way. I'm not sure if it'll even take that long. I think that Pitt wants to know who they got quarterbacking against West Virginia. My assumption, one of the quarterbacks will start and take the bulk of the snaps this game. The other quarterback will come in the second half. At Cincinnati, the other quarterback who didn't start might get more of a chunk of the chance. But by and large, they will. I believe by the backyard ball, we will know who officially QB1 is.
Who would you bet on?
I like Nate Yarnell for the sake that he knows the offense. But I have to say, the fact that Eli Holstein, a redshirt freshman, has quote-unquote caught up with him, as Pat Narduzzi said, in one summer camp, that says a lot for his potential. And I think that this team has been thriving off of youth. It's been thriving off of talent. If you had asked me even a week ago, I would have said Nate Yarnell. But the stuff that I've heard this week from Pat Narduzzi, the way things are talking, I think that when all is said and done, Eli Holstein becomes your starting quarterback, at least by week 3 for the Pitt Panthers.
Well, I mean, that's the big thing to me. You've got a new offense, and you've got, you know, this rhythm offense that you're trying to run and all that other kind of stuff. I hate to say it like this, but what is the sense of playing Nate Yarnell for a few weeks and allowing Eli? I mean, if Eli Holstein you think is your guy, shouldn't he start from day one?
I think there is a slight anxiety that after this team felt so sure that Phil Dracovic was the man last year, and they were so wrong about that, that they want to see an offense that hasn't been done before at the ACC, an offense that they're still getting used to, and quarterbacks ultimately that they want to see actually have control. They want to actually have them prove it against live, real opponents in college football. And Kent State, you know, they're not exactly going to be, you know, the best barometer of how things are going to go. But they lost in Cincinnati last year. And I feel like that's why I'm saying give this 2 games, because if Eli Holstein has looked great in practice and then comes out and just stinks up the joint, then you're like, okay, our bad year. But I don't think that the team also wants to just anoint Eli Holstein right away, and then he comes out, has the jitters, something goes wrong, he's not good, and then Nate Yarnell goes up to replace him right away, because then you've told the redshirt junior, we actually don't think you're the best. Oh, wait, now we do think you're the best. So I think that's why they've gone at this rate, where it's like, hey, we see you guys on equal footing. Your play will determine who gets the starting job. So I think that's why it's a safety valve to give them multiple options. After last year, they clearly got it wrong, and they ended up settling with Nate Yarnell as the third guy by the end of the season.
15-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Yeah, back to the quarterbacks. Last year, Pat Narduzzi infamously said that he was leaning on Frank Cignetti to make the right decision at quarterback. He said those guys know better, meaning his offensive staff. Who's going to make the decision this year? The new offensive coordinator or the head coach on which quarterback plays?
The head coach said that that's a K decision when we talked to him this week. But I would not be so shocked if there it is like kind of a board meeting and it's kind of a sitting down between Pat and Cade, and Cade kind of leads the charge there, but he doesn't get to make the final call. Pat gives like the stamp of approval when he feels like Cade convinced him. That's the way I understand the process to be. I'm not saying that that's definitely how it is, but I think it's going to be a co-decision between the two of them. But Pat Narduzzi is going to have to sign off on it. I know that there's, you know, at times he said, I don't have anything to do with it. That's nonsense. He does have something to do with it. But I do think it is heavily influenced by who Cade thinks has better control of his offense right now.
Wait, I didn't hear the first part. Did you say that Narduzzi said that's a Cade decision, as in a Cade Bell decision?
No. He says, I don't, first, sometimes he says, I don't have anything to do with that. But we know that's not the case. We know that the head coach is going to have a say. But I do think that Cade Bell has a lot of influence over this decision. If he can show Pat, this guy knows my offense better, Pat will go with that guy. But it won't happen unless Pat gives his stamp of approval off of Cade's analysis.
Yeah, I think the other part of it is, when you look at what Cade wants to do, do you think there will be some conflict between him and Pat Narduzzi when it comes to this guy wanting to throw the ball 15 times in a row?
History says yes. I think they've hit it all. The honeymoon's been very smooth. They went to Sandals. They went on the beach. They've been enjoying the good times. But now this is the time when you're coming off the vacation, and now you gotta start paying bills. You gotta start cleaning the house, and that's when things have gotten rocky. We know that Mark Whipple and Pat Narduzzi didn't see eye to eye for several years. We know, frankly, that he got fired mid last season. So I think there will be times that they are at odds with each other. I think right now they see eye to eye, but I think what we'll tell is when Pitt starts losing, because we know they're not an undefeated team this year. They're gonna have their struggles. How does Pat respond? Does Pat, because we've seen times when Pat has thrown little jabs that can be perceived as throwing somebody under the bus. Placing blame elsewhere. If we start to see those, that's when you start, okay, there's obviously some beef going on there. But as of right now, I think they're fine. But I would not be shocked if at some point this year there are questions about how much Pat Narduzzi likes Cade Bell. And very much for the reason you said, Paul, Pat Narduzzi said, hey, I have no problem with this up-tempo offense, but I also know that he likes his defense and he likes his defense being fresh. And if this no-tempo offense is going three and out, three series in a row, and is doing so and putting the defense back out there every 5 seconds, Pat might complain about that, and then we will see how this relationship actually stands.
I saw, I think, at The Athletic, they ranked the top five players at every position in the ACC, and the only guy from Pitt who appeared was Gavin Bartholomew. Is he the best player on the team?
I think Gavin has is he the best? I think he has the potential to be. I think the thing is that we haven't seen Gavin Bartholomew gotten the chance to take over a season. His most yards in a season is still his freshman year when Kenny Pickett was quarterback and he was the number two tight end behind Lucas Crowell. Since then, Pitt's offense hasn't been good enough to feature Gavin Bartholomew. I think he has the potential to be that guy. I think that if he gets targeted enough, like say 8 to 10 times a game, I think that he can be in that conversation. But I would not overlook a guy like Kanate Munfield at receiver even being better than that. I would not overlook a guy like Donovan McMillan being better than that, or P.J. O'Brien for being a takeover guy. I also think there's some young guys in this team that might emerge and become studs for this Panthers roster, whether it's Cruz Brookins, the redshirt freshman at safety, Francis Brew, the defensive tackle that's a true freshman but already slated to be a starter for this defense. I think they've got a lot of young guys. But if I had to pick two guys who should be in that conversation for best in the ACC, Donovan McMillan at safety, Gavin Bartholomew at tight end, and I'll say a third, Kanate Munfield at wide receiver. All three of those guys, I think, deserve some praise.
When you watch, when you look at the way that this team likes to play, and Pat Narduzzi wants his defense to win games and all that other stuff, are these drives perhaps going to, be so quick on offense that the defense gets tired out of it? Do they have enough depth if they're going to have to play? I mean, because it sounds like to me this is going to be one of those things where they're going to be playing, 80, 90, 100 snaps every game.
It is. I think that's very much what they're planning to do. But they also talked about how they adjusted their conditioning back in the spring to prepare the team for that. And whereas in the spring, they were huffing and puffing a little bit. But after this summer and after the spring, after training like that, this team, I think, is very prepared on offense, on defense, to play those amount of snaps. They have depth. They have players they're going to rotate in and out to keep people fresh. But they're going to be their plan is to be ready to handle that type of a workload, Paul. But that is going to be part of the challenge, because if the offense isn't producing, I mean, Cade Bell's thing is he wants to score 50 points a game. He wants to be the elite offense that's just putting points up. He doesn't care how quickly they do it. But the defense, we got to acknowledge the reality. If the offense is struggling because you're facing a really good defense, or you're just off on that day, and the defense keeps getting put out there, I don't care how deep you are, I don't care how talented you are, you are risking to be exposed, especially in college football these days. So I think it certainly has the potential to overwhelm opponents and tire them out, so that you can be the more in-shape team at the end of the game, because this is how you always play. But it does not mean that will not backfire on them if the offense doesn't score and then the defense gets beat a couple times and then is behind the eight ball.
Chris, good stuff as always. Hopefully we can talk regularly throughout the season here. Thanks for taking the time over there.
Thanks for having me, guys. About to talk to Pat Narduzzi in 8 minutes.
All right, ask him if it's him or Cade making the call on the quarterbacks, if you could.
We'll do.
All right, we'll see you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.